Hi, it's Leslie.
And this is Jaleesa.
And welcome to the Soul Subliminal Podcast, your mindful space for holistic holism, health, and healing. And today in the month of July, we have the fantastic theme continued of planting goodness. Mm-hmm. And Jaleesa, who do we have with us today?
We got one of the flyest individuals I have had the ability to encounter in the city of Denver, right? The badass Mo Better Greens, Beverly Grant, is here to bless us with some conversation, some inspiration around planting goodness. So Bev, please tell us all about yourself.
We don't have that much time, but I'm happy to share. Now, I am a Denver native, which I'm happy to say. My family roots are really from Texas and Oklahoma. My mother's from Oklahoma. My father from Texas. So I tell people I have Tex-Oma roots.
Mm-hmm.
I was a mother of three. I lost my youngest son tragically 4 years ago. And Mo Better Green is 11 years old this season. And I feel that is such a blessing to have existed this long, and that the community wants us to be around. I'm grateful for that. We also have a farming arm that was established in 2015, mm-hmm. called Seeds of Power Unity Farm. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of founded out of the premise, the problem is the solution. Problem is the solution is, I would say, a statement that really encapsulates what my mission is with our community. For example, food is a problem and a solution. And that's because we are disconnected to having healthy habits regarding food. Mm-hmm. We're even disconnected from knowing what a good definition of food is. We think products and things like that are actually food, and they're not. But also, because of this disconnection that we have that is linked to many different things, our health is suffering. And mm-hmm. our community bears the brunt of all the health disparities. And we're the poster children for these things. Mm-hmm. And in this work, I have learned that so many conditions that we are suffering with are absolutely reversible if we are willing to put in the work with our diet and a form of movement. And so HEAL is an acronym that I started using 11 years ago that for in my particular context stands for health, eating, and active living. Because mm-hmm. I say that is the recipe of life right there. Health, eating, and active living. Now, when we look at the word health, that is broken down into mental, emotional, social, relational, financial, spiritual, physical.
It's so much more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All of those things is what health is. That's the aggregate of what health is, mm-hmm. when we look at all of those things. And so in order for us to be healthy fully, each one of those variables has to be considered. And so when I wanted to create a farmer's market in the city, first of all, you know, in some people's mind, that's kind of far-fetched. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to come up with a design that serves us. And knowing that our community is suffering from, really, we have a lot of access barriers.
Right.
So, you know, and those access
especially barriers, in the community here.
There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the access barriers are linked to economic things. They're also linked to educational things. And they're also linked to systematic and institutional racism, mm-hmm. that we live with.
Systems, absolutely.
Yes. And so like 11 years ago, well, really more like 12 probably or better, when I really started trying to come up with a concept and a design for the farmers market, because number one, I want to serve us. And I had to look at what would it take to attract us there? Mm-hmm. What would it take to keep us engaged? Yep. And what would that look like? So, mm-hmm. So number one, I started thinking about, well, in addition to having just fresh food there, I need to create some deeper links. So doing different types of food demos, doing juicing and smoothie making on the spot, yes. You know, was really a great segue. Because if I get something in your mouth and your reaction is, oh my God, that's bomb. You ready to listen?
Mm-hmm.
If I get an adverse reaction, I mean, like, no, that's okay, babe, I'm cool. So I don't want that type of response. So I have to make sure, you know, we have a high bar in our community when it comes to flavor.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We have the highest bar. Let's just bring that up. We are the bar. So knowing that, you know, I really wanted to ensure that the juices, the smoothies, different dishes that we're preparing are taste approved, because otherwise it's going to be rejected in the moment. And also thinking about how food is our medicine and how we're so disconnected from that. We lived our lives really eating organic food because that's all there was at a time. Only within, say, the last 40 to 50 years have we experienced corruption in our food supply because of, you know, hybrid seeds, Franken farming techniques, producing GMO foods and foods that actually break our health down, building relationships with fast food and microwave magic and ramen noodles, you know, see all those types of things. Those are products. That's not food.
Yeah.
And a good delineation between food and product is if it came out of a package, it's a product. And if man did something to it, it was at somebody's factory somewhere, it's a product.
Mm-hmm.
And more, we've got a lot of imposter foods out there posing as food, but they're products. Mm-hmm. And so part of my education is to teach people how to recognize these things in the store, to dispel a lot of these notions that, you know, organic food is expensive. It's not accessible for us.
Right.
One way to reconnect us to our roots is through farming and gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Why I wanted to do this in the city, to reconnect us to the origins of food, to the cycle of food. Because I say the cycle of food is from the seed to the stomach. And so I've created education literally along that whole continuum from the seed to the stomach.
Yeah.
And it's been such a blessed journey to build trust in the community, to listen to personal stories, for people to reach out to me and say, I have a problem, I need help with a diabetic diet or cardiac, or I have some other special thing going on. And it's amazing how we take for granted the power of food, fruits and vegetables. You know, every pharmaceutical that exists began with an element from the earth, you know. And so we need to recognize that if we build a relationship back with food and herbs and really stewardship of the earth, then, you know, we'll be reconnected with what is here for us.
Yeah. And that to me brings up the concept of just like the farm to table concepts, the vegan, the vegetarian, the plant-based. And it's like, these are all things that we ancestrally are very much familiar with and that our families were very much familiar with. And we kind of lost our way in a lot.
There's no doubt about it. You know, we were socialized away from these things, you know, strategically. Because let's look at how a lot of our community views farming and agricultural work. People are like, I'm not feeling that's slave work. How about every human is born to be a natural earth steward, but we are not fulfilling that part of our role, because living in a city, we have been socialized away from these things. And then we're also socialized into believing certain things, you know, like, for example, this notion of multitasking is so false, but we still believe we can do it. We can only do one thing at a time, actually, but we don't believe it. But we stress ourselves out with believing that we're multitasking and ourselves props and love when we think we're doing it.
That hustler mentality. That's just absolutely.
Now, you know what? That's some of the side effects of racism and trying to walk to someone else's drum beat that ain't got nothing to do with us, you know? System. And then we live in a constructed society that has no consideration of us. When we look at how America was founded, we look at, you know, various periods in history, it's very much against our ability to thrive. And then but we still do it anyway. We still find a way to thrive and to rise above. When we come together and create epicenters, they become under attack over time because, you know, that, you know, power comes from strength in numbers or it comes from economic, you know, a strong economic base. We are under attack in society globally on all of those levels. When you think about it, there's no country, including Africa, on the planet where we are not under attack in some way.
Right.
So to avoid feeling overwhelmed by these facts, this is when our natural resilience kicks in. And when we are met with opposition, we rebel. And then when we rebel, our creative powers produce solutions. Okay. And so what one of the, believe it or not, a weird catalyst that got me on the journey for the work I'm doing today is seeing the movie Food Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tripping when I saw that.
Yes.
You know, I was just like, really for days, my being was very disturbed. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'd go to the store and I'd be looking at stuff and I'm like, I do not know where this came from.
Right.
This could be some meat that was prepared in the circumstances I saw in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel depressed.
Yes.
For a bit. And then I was thinking, what can I do? And then I was like, I wish I could just start a farmer's market. Then I would know where everything came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I could up my own personal game.
Mm-hmm. You know,
with having good quality foods.
Yes.
Now, building relationship with farmers and understanding the political landscape of food here in Colorado, I learned that Colorado is what is called an export state, which means the bulk of our things produced here leave the Colorado borders.
Mm.
So to offset that, you know, things are brought in. Now,
why would we do that?
I'm like, the
hello.
Is it mathing?
Is it mathing? Does the dollars make sense?
No.
How about no? And then while you're on that train, how about why? Do
why?
Foods that come from across the globe cost less than local products?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the reason is because there's a myriad of systems making money on that. You know, so think about the food miles from things coming from Peru and Australia. Why here in Colorado are we, do we have meat from Australia and Switzerland?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Colorado is, you know,
it's a cattle state.
Bing. Now, is that making sense? We got meat from Australia in Colorado. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the early days of the farmers market, there was some legislation passed that began globally, where food is supposed to be labeled where it comes from.
Yes.
Okay, that kind of got shut down a little bit, you know, because people's like, we don't need people to know that. We don't, you know, because when you know what you are tapping into, and if it's unsatisfactory to you, you're going to redirect your dollars.
Right.
And that's a thing that I love to teach us, that if you don't know when you're shopping where something came from, or if you read a product and there are elements in that ingredients list that you can't pronounce or you don't know what they are, then you need to say next. Mm-hmm. If you see a paragraph of ingredients off top, you need to say next. You don't even need to read that. You know, if you see more than a single line on some ingredients, and if they're not recognizable,
That's not
something you need to consume.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like the addressing of just all of our silent killers, such as the high blood pressure, such as the heart disease, such as even some of the more prevalent diseases like a uterine fibroid or lupus in the community, all of these things very much have a pathway towards healing, but we just aren't aware of it. And then we always lean into the traditional systems of medicine, which have a tendency to exacerbate it and make it worse or make it continual. And I just hate that it's such a profitable thing. Disease is such a profitable industry.
Yes, broken health is really a profitable industry. And this is why pharmaceuticals, insurance, and the medical community are constant bedfellows.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are dependent on each other to make that shmoney.
Yes.
And, you know, and people that are in the, something that's really heartbreaking for me is this trend of surgery that is out there to correct obesity. Really? Not quite. Mm-hmm. And it's not really producing the outcome that people are led to believe. You know, people want these convenient, quick fix solutions to things, and it doesn't really work like that. And so this is like at the heart of why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I want to lead us back to a healthy relationship with food, to understand its benefits, its healing properties. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't even realize that the colors of food kind of tell you things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And those colors of food are related to the properties that they support in your body. For example, red foods like beets, hibiscus, things like that, great for the blood and major organs. And you look at orange foods and yellow foods, they're cancer fighters. So things like carrots and turmeric root, for example. And so knowing the value of the food as it exists is important. And it's really simple knowledge that we just take for granted. You know, we want to go listen to a doctor tell us, you know, their assessment, and then they want to immediately direct us to some form of a pharmaceutical. Because number one, they're making money on these referrals. Mm-hmm. Then when our bodies reconform because of these new additives in there, then our bodies become dependent upon that, because it shifts our DNA in a bit, and it and just the normal functions of our systems.
Right.
And these are the things that we are so unaware of. Eating too much fast food or products do the same thing. Where this is why we have different food addictions, because of products that we're consuming that create that call within our beings.
Yes.
You know, and some of the things dull our senses. They shift our psyches. And so that's a danger that we're just silently unaware of. Silently unaware
Absolutely.
Of. And so.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please go ahead and say it.
I'm just really excited about you. Like, I got a full note page of just notes right now.
Notes.
You know, I'm a note taker. And just thinking of the ways in which you have just transition this like FUBU idea, you know, for us, by us.
There's so no doubt about it.
Ooh, and you just like elevated it in such a beautiful way and continue to elevate it in such a phenomenal way. And I just have to give you so many flowers in this moment for an appreciation for just sharing and existing and giving to our community, because I don't think people recognize how necessary what you're talking about and what you are teaching our people is, right, for our existence. And so,
well, our very lives literally depend upon it.
They do.
You know? And, you know, two of my main teaching premises are, Food is medicine, not food as medicine. No, it is medicine. And yes, also, our health is our true wealth. Because if our health is broken, we're not able to go and, you know, go to our jobs and accrue the coins that we work for. You know, that is not our wealth. You know, if our health is not in a functional position, you know, our quality of life is just not there.
Absolutely.
Now, also looking at health and, you know, our community lives with constant stress. We live in a stress pool from the time we wake up and our awareness begins at the top of our day until we go to sleep at night. We're literally in a war zone in this society. And so this is why our community has higher degrees of hypertension and heart-related stress diseases. It is because of all this extra stress. Like, that's a template for
and
our
that's life. On top of the racial battle fatigue. That's on top of the gender bias. That's on top of all of these additional layers of stress that we have in conjunction with the fact that our bodies are not well maintained and well fueled.
Indeed. And then, but then it's also our brilliant, resilient quality that is in the DNA of every person of color. That is, like you think of a car, and you when we start getting low on gas and you hear it dinging and you know you on fumes, you know, we get just like that. Now we take better care of our cars than we do of our human beings,
right?
Because we don't scrutinize the inputs that we're putting in our bodies. That's the first thing we need to do. So I tell people, the mouth, this is our gateway to the being, and our communication comes out of there, but the inputs to our very existence are going in there. And so when we think about people that function in gatekeeper positions, they get on our nerves when we think about it, because they're like, do you have the credentials? Oh, yes. You're not approved. I don't see you on the list. Okay, if we took that approach literally to food, say, oh, this has blah, blah in it. I don't mess with that. I don't eat that. That's not approved. You know, if we literally took that approach to the inputs that we're putting in the gateway, we would leave off so much of what we're eating. Also, veganism is not white culture. Now, there has been a white culture built around it. Now, let's bring that part up.
It got whiteified.
There's no doubt about it. But how about plants, vegetables, roots? They don't know a black person from a white person. Okay. They don't know. But how about we've lost so much information and connection in generations because we don't garden at home anymore.
No.
You know, there was a time when you could go.
Everybody had a patch.
And almost everybody had a backyard garden. And that's because, and we were a part of our own food solution. See, now we are not. We don't have that mindset that I need to be a part of my own food solution. So that's one seed I plant.
I got you. Let's go. Okay, so we love to wrap it up with giving three words that you feel like describe yourself, your experience, your business. And then also tell us, where can people find you? How can they get in contact with you?
Okay. Love is for sure an important word. Um, patience.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to have to steal this word from Sprint. Family, for friends and family all built together. You know, that's what our community is. You know, we have a natural born kindred kinship with each other. And what I am noticing with younger generations is that some of that is getting lost due to the virtual nature way of being. And so I reject that. And so I like to bring us together and get us together, because the connectivity is vital for our ability to thrive.
Right. And
intergenerationalism is so key. We can't know who and what we are in the present moment if we don't understand the sacrifices and the struggle of those that came before us.
Right.
And so much of that has been hidden. And so this new notion of critical race theory, of making that a thing to force people to acknowledge the whole story, is important. And so I'm here in that spirit to say that I need y'all to remember that organic food is all we used to eat.
Correct.
Organic food is a part of our origins.
Right. That
we are natural born stewards, and it is our job actually to be that earth care, the care of people. That is part of our natural role in society. And so a way to reconnect us in that direction is through this food work, because you build relationships over meals. You have beautiful memories over your timeline from as young as you can remember, around food. And then the family and friends, the family. And so food, folks, and fun, you know, are at the heart of everything I'm doing. And creating the education in a way that today you can implement it. This isn't something fancy you gotta wait and do. No, when you leave my presence, you can do what you just saw me do. Mm-hmm. And more than that, I'm going to be so intentional with ensuring that every ingredient that I use, I can tell you where to get it.
Right.
And I do it to the point where if my customer that I'm servicing utilizes SNAP as their food currency, I'm going to tell you places where you can go to get ginger, turmeric, burdock root, all the things with your currency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, we need those deeper connections to know that when it's not the farmer's market season, where do I shop? How do I shop? Things like that. So that's what I feel I'm here to do, because if I'm able to teach you how to nourish yourself, you in turn are going to nourish someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and nourishment is foundational to our existence. It's vital. Mm-hmm. And so nourishment through relationships of people with suntans that I intentionally engage in the marketplace to engage with us, because it takes us to get to us.
Right.
It takes us to build trust, to teach us. And so so that's my goal. We do everything. We invented everything. Mm-hmm. Every function on this planet, we had something to do with that. Mm-hmm. Our people. And so I want to bring us full circle to that knowledge, and to bring us back to a proper relationship with food, because food is our foundation.
Yes.
We will not survive and live a healthy life without it.
Right. That's beautiful.
She's talking so fast. I'm all trying to write these notes down. We're going to check in later. But with that, how can people find you? How can they get in contact with you?
Well, I would say just direct message me through one of the social media platforms, Instagram or Facebook. I have an email address, mbgmanager for Mo Betta Green. And for those listening and learning about me, please call me Green, not Greens, because I sell them, grow them, drink them, cook them, but that is not my name. And, and the name is intentional, Mo Betta Green. Now, the slang part is obvious, but the green is really about sustainable lifestyle, about connecting us to food, about learning what it really means to live a green lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've noticed is when we become conscious eaters, our whole lives are conscious at this point. Like, we don't want to have, we'll start taking it to our body products. Then we'll start taking it to our clothing. Then we'll start taking it to the other consumer products that we will purchase. We're gonna raise the bar on all of our things when we become conscious eaters. And so it creates that spiral to get on a green path of living, which is Mo Betta.
Hello.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you.
It has been just a joy to have you, Bev. Nothing but love and light for you in all ways, in all times, because you're doing just such beautiful work. Yeah, absolutely. And with that, y'all, we out. So we need to make sure y'all eating well. Y'all looking at
the get some lemons and limes and turmeric.
Some turmeric and ginger roots, all right? Yeah. But with that, y'all, namaste, fam. Y'all stay dope forever, ever, and ever. Thank you so much.
And ever a man, a woman, amen. A child.
Ooh. That's the one.
I like that. Peace, Bev. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bev.
And
we'll see you this weekend.
Yes. Like Saturday. I'll be down in Five Points, right by the Blair Caldwell Library.
Perfect.
Sunny Lawson.
Perfect.
Love it. 10 to 2. Perfect. Okay. Thank
bye,
you.
Bye, Bev.
Bye.
That was good.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm so well.